Okay, Yeshaya Perek Chof Ches. We'll resume from Perek Yud, the 42nd Shir. The Novi is rebuking the people in the 10 tribes that they're so involved in their pleasures, they're not able to hear the word of Hashem. Kitzav Lotzov. Now, the next few psukim will explain how the Metzudas learns the Pshat, how Rashi, and how the Malbim. But first, the Metzudas explains as follows. Kitzav Lotzov. The people are so involved in pleasures, they're not attuned and they're not able to hear the word of Hashem. So, in order to give them the ability to keep the commandments of the Torah, they need to have just many safeguards, because they're not used to keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs. They're involved in their own pleasure, and therefore the tzav, the commandment of Hashem, requires another commandment. Kitzav lotzav. There has to be like a siyog, an extra safeguard. A tzav, a commandment, lotzav, for the commandment of Hashem. Tzav lotzav. And even that safeguard's not enough. We need a safeguard for the safeguard, because the people are just so far removed. Kav lokov. If somebody's a builder and he has a plumb line, a line to make sure that the building is being erected straight, so he has a kav, a line to make sure things are precise. But for that kav, for that line of Hashem, we need to have a line of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon have to make their own barriers and their own safeguards. A kav lakav, a line for the line. And even that line of the Rabbanon is not enough, but kav lakav. There needs an extra siyog, for an extra mishmeres, an extra protection for the law of the Rabbanon. Ze'er shom. And even where they're able to learn, it's got to be done in very small doses, a little bit. Ze'er shom. They can only take a little bit there, ze'er shom, a little bit there. Because they're just so far removed, it's almost as if you wanted to teach somebody to be religious, to be frum, and he's not at all used to keeping Shabbos. And you got to teach him. He has to be taken out of his environment. He's just not able to be receptive to the whole idea. He needs to be removed into a different situation. And every commandment has its own safeguards. And he's in a, because as he is in his environment, he's just so liable to transgress. He's just not used to the Torah and the mitzvahs. So everything needs a safeguard to the safeguard. Ki belage sofa. Because it's as if you're speaking belage sofa in an unintelligible speech. Uvaloshen acheres. And in a different language. Sometimes you speak in the language, but it's not clear. Other times it's a different language. And that's your words of Torah and mitzvahs, that's the way they receive it. Balage sofo v'loshon acheres yidaber al ha'mazeh. That's the way you're speaking to this nation. And what exactly is the message? The message that's so difficult for people to receive. Asher omar aleihem. That it's said to them, the Novi says to them, zos ha'menucha. Do you want to have rest? You want to have an easy, a physical break. Menucha is like the body can relax. Hanichu lo'ayev. So let the weary relax. If you let the one who's tired and you let up on oppressing and working all those people that are under your control. Hanichu lo'ayev. The one who's weary, let him rest. And by doing so, you'll rest. Don't feel don't put the pressure on others. Relax. Try to make everybody's life easier. And in doing so, you'll find peace and rest. Zos ha-menucha. You want to have menucha? Hanich lo'ayev. The one who is weary, let him rest. V'zos ha-margeya. And with that, you'll feel satisfaction. Margeya is for the soul to relax and to feel at ease. V'lo'avu lishmoa. And the people didn't want to hear. They're used to their ways, and they're not prepared to change their way of living. Especially understanding the people of the Aseres HaShvatim were involved in their pleasures and enjoying life. But you know, sometimes people will tell you the best vacation is to go home and put up a sign, not at home, and turn off the phone and just have a chance to relax. But they're so involved in their pleasures and things that they find exciting and enjoyable. But there's a stress, and it seems to be the Navi is telling them, if you want to have an easy, enjoyable, satisfying life, help others. Let them rest. Take it easy. Don't feel the pressure. Zos ha-menucha ha-nichaloye. If you want to have menucha, so let the one who's weary rest. V'ohiyo lehem devar Hashem. But what happens is, you tell the people the law of the Torah, and they're so far removed, you have to set up a mishmeres, a guard to that, and a guard to that, and therefore you build up a whole system of safeguards to keep the laws of the Torah. But for Hayol Hem Devar Hashem, there's that danger that the word of Hashem becomes to them, Tzav Latzav, as the commandment given for the original commandment, Tzav Latzav, and a safeguard that was on that safeguard, Kav Lakov, that line that directs you to follow the straight, to build that the building should be straight and it should be precise. But they look at it as a Kav Lakov. It's a line to protect the original line. Kav Lakov. Everything they look at like a mishmeres. In other words, the idea is that people should realize to be extra careful with the laws of the Torah, and therefore we set up safeguards. But very often they take the safeguards and they feel the whole Torah is just like a midas chasidus. It's exemplary behavior. It's an exalted way of life, but it's not the command and obligatory. They look at the Devar Hashem as the Tzav Latzav, as these safeguards. Zeir Shom. And even though where they've learned it, they only know that little bit in Leman Yelchu V'choshlu Ochar. And therefore, if they're not interested in keeping the words of Hashem, and they're interested in just enjoying themselves, Leman Yelchu, so that they'll go V'choshlu Ochar, and they'll stumble backwards. V'nishporu, and be broken. V'nokshu, they'll be tripped, like caught in a trap, v'nil kodu, and caught. That's the way the Mitzudas explains these psukim. Let's see the way Rashi explains. Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Yud. Kitzav Latzav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding the people that they have to keep the Torah, they have to keep the mitzvahs, that has to be the focus of their life. And yet they say, Kitzav Latzav, to the commandments of Hashem, they say we have our own commandments. There are laws of the land. You know, Hashem says to do this, but society says to do that. And there are other rulers who feel that we should behave differently. Tzav Latzav, there's another command for the commandments of Hashem. And they feel that their way of life and their laws are more important than the rules of the Torah. Kav Lakov. They have their own line, their weight for judging what's straight. They have their own kav, their own line to direct their building of their edifice of life. They have their own line, Lakov, for the line of Hashem. Kav Lakov. You tell them another law of Hashem, they have their own, they have their own kav, their own line. So whatever mitzvah you tell them in the Torah, they always view it with what society says and what the other nations say and what's the proper way to live, and they're not committed to following what the Torah says. Zeir Shom. And the Navi warns them, if you don't follow the word of Hashem, there's a punishment. It's not that far away. Zeir, a little bit. Shom, and it's there, there's punishment. And the people say, Zeir Shom. Yeah, a little bit. We're not worried about it. A little bit. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring whatever he's going to bring soon. We don't think it's nothing. No punishment is happening soon. It could be especially the people of the 10 tribes. Most of the kings were Rishoyim. They were wicked kings. And the kings misled the people. And the kings encouraged them to serve Avodah Zarah. If everyone in Eretz Yisrael would go to Yerushalayim 3 times a year, they would be Ola Regel. They would have to go down to Yehuda. They would have to cross the boundary. They have to cross the border, go through security, and enter the Malchus of Malchei Yehuda, and then come to the Beis Hamikdash. And there's no standing in the Azara in the courtyard, except if you're a king from Malchus Beis David. And everybody would see that everyone stands except from the king from Yehuda. It would be so obvious that the real kingdom of Israel is Malchus Yehuda. And the 10 tribes is a breakaway, and it's not legitimate to remain as a separate monarchy. Originally, it was a punishment that the 10 tribes were split off, but they weren't supposed to remain this way for hundreds of years. So the kings, from the very beginning, Yeravam ben Nevat set up idols, and he blocked travel to Yerushalayim, and there was no Oyla Regel, you weren't allowed to travel, and you had to worship the Avodah Zarahs. And it had a negative influence on the people. This was their king, and Kitzav Lotzav, the Navi would tell them the command of Hashem, and they would balance it with, we have other commandments. Which laws should we follow? Kibalage Safa, and their speech, they view the speech of the Navi as if it's unintelligible. Balage Safa, it's not spoken clearly. Uvaloshan Acheres, it's a strange language. Yidaber El Ha'amazeh, you speak to this nation. Asher Amar Aleim, the Navi says to them, Zos HaMenucha, you want to have rest. Hanichu La'ayev, so allow the weary to rest. By doing so, you'll feel true satisfaction. I have a way of life that's going to make you enjoy this world. Some Mefarshim point out the Torah stresses that living, you know, all religions promise that if you follow what they say, you'll get the world to come. And the truth is, the ultimate reward is in Olam Haba. But the Torah says in this world also, if somebody follows the Torah and mitzvahs, he'll have a good life. He'll have a fulfilling life, one of satisfaction. The Novi's saying, you want to feel menucha, you want to feel margeya. So give people a rest. Help others. V'lo avushmo, and the people don't want to listen. There's a pasuk in Mishlei L'taiva Yevakesh Nifrod. Somebody who's after his pleasures, he separates from others. It doesn't just mean the guy who wants to have a piece of cake and he doesn't want to share it, you know, hides around the corner when he eats it. But it's a general mode of life. If a person's interested in just himself, so he separates from others to enjoy his personal pleasure. But if somebody is hanichu la'oyev, if he helps the weary, he'll feel the true satisfaction. And physically, he'll feel the menucha. But v'hayu lahem dvar Hashem. So Hashem says to them, if all the encouragements and the warnings of the Navi don't seem to register, and whenever you heard a mitzvah and you hear something from Hashem, you think, well, what did the Goyim say? What does the Ovdei Avodah Zarah say? So v'hayu lahem dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem will be to them. Tzav l'tzav. And he says, you'll now have a commandment. The nations of the world will place a decree on you, tzav l'tzav, on whatever original commandments you followed from the nations, but now you'll have decrees, tzav l'tzav, and the nations will continue making more harsh decrees on the Jews. Kav l'kav, you're measuring your straight line, your proper conduct by what the Goyim say. They'll make a line of proper conduct in society, and it'll be against you. There'll be a kav l'kav, kav l'kav. Actually, Rashi says, kav here can be interpreted as tikva, a hope. Kav, you are hoping for the light, enlightenment. And instead of having that kav, what you hope for, lakov, you'll now have darkness. It'll be a different reality than what you hoped for. Ze'er shom, and this will be soon, ze'er shom. It's not going to be that long before the destruction comes to the 10 tribes, the exile. L'man yelchu v'choshlu ochor v'nishporu, that they'll go and stumble backwards and be broken, v'nokshu v'nilkodu, and they'll be caught in the trap. It's almost, it feels as if the Navi would be speaking to very often Jewry at the beginning of the 20th century. And they all felt, you know, they got to follow the rules of the land, and Germany is the most highly civilized nation. And to follow the Torahs backwards, and they want to feel part of the world culture. And Hashem tells them, you're following the decrees of the nations. You're not following the commandments of the Torah. You'll see that they'll make laws that the laws are against you. And the truth is, those that, the scholars of the Holocaust always stress that besides the suffering, and there's no adjectives that can properly describe what we went through in the Holocaust, what Klal Yisrael went through, but they worked everything legally. Even after Kristallnacht, they passed laws that the Jews are obligated to pay for all the broken shop windows. Obviously, it damaged their economy with all the stores that were looted and broken, and therefore the Jews are responsible for all these the broken glass. But everything was done legally with laws, and they passed a law that, you know, this is, it was all, there was the tzav latzav, the commandments, because the Jews felt they had to follow the commandments of the non-Jews. And a third way of understanding these same psukim is the Malbim. The Malbim explains as follows. Sometimes you're teaching a student and it's very difficult and it's frustrating and he doesn't understand. Kitzav latzav. So you teach him the commandment and then you teach it again. Sav latzav, and then you teach it again to what you previously taught, and you repeat it again and again and again. And then sometimes you got to draw a diagram or make some type of something that catches attention, something that can help them conceptualize what's being explained. Kav, and you take a line and you draw a diagram, a kav lakav. You draw a diagram once, then you draw a different type of model to express what the message you convey, a line to the other line, and then kav lakav, another diagram to the original diagram, and you try to explain it from all different angles. So you repeat it again and again and again, and you do all different types of tsiyurim, all types of models to visualize, so that the student can visualize what you're saying. Ze'er shom, and you do very little, ze'er shom a little bit here, ze'er shom and a little bit there. You don't give him too much, an overload of too much knowledge in one session. Ki balagi sofa, because the Navi feels that whatever, he's got to teach them just a little bit and keep on repeating it and keep on explaining it in all different ways. Ki balagi sofa, because his words are unintelligible. And it's like in a strange language. You're speaking to this nation. And sometimes a person doesn't listen to Tochacha. You rebuke him, you tell him what he did wrong, and he doesn't accept it. But sometimes he doesn't understand you. And sometimes it's because you're asking him to do something very difficult. You know, the Ramban explains we just had Parshas Kedoshim, and he explains how the psukim sort of, the smichus, the different mitzvahs in Kedoshim, one leads to another. And in the pasuk, it says, Lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. The Ramban says it's talking diber hakosuv behove, the Torah is talking about the way it usually is, even if you tell him you hate him. You are transgressing this law. You're not allowed to hate another Jew. So what should you do? Hocheach tocheach esamisecha. If somebody did something wrong to you, level with him. Call him over and say, why'd you do this to me? Like it says, Vochiach Avram es Avimelech, you find in the Torah, Avram rebuked Avimelech because the wells were stolen by his servants. So Tochacha Kamin, I rebuke if you did something wrong to me. I don't want to hate you. Lasisno Sachicha Bilvavecha, Sachich Techicha Samisecha. And then Vosisa Lovchait. There won't be any sin because he'll explain to you that he didn't really mean to do it. It was an accident. It came out that way, but it wasn't his intention. And sometimes he'll tell you he was sorry. But there is a possibility that with all the excuses, you still don't feel that he's really... the excuse really wasn't good enough. He gave you some type of reason, but it wasn't good enough. So Torah continues. That might have removed the hatred, but you still might feel lo sikum velo sitor es b'nei amecha. You might feel a grudge. You might feel that you should really get him back for what he did to you. Take revenge. You don't hate him, but even after you leveled with him, you still have a taina. You still feel upset with him. So that's the next part. Lo sikum velo sitor es b'nei amecha. You have to try to work on looking at the positive and not to get caught in a rut of bearing a grudge and taking revenge. Ve'ohavto l'reacha kamocha, which the Ramban says means, just like you want to have all goodness, osher, kavod, nechosim, whatever, all the good that you want to have, ve'ohavto l'reacha, you should want your friend to have that also. So the psukim follow one in another. But the normal idea is when you give somebody tochacha, that removes the hatred. You have an argument with somebody and you level with him, he should have a response, and very often it already removes that sin. But when the Navi gives tochacha and the people aren't listening, you would think, well, either they don't understand or it's something very difficult. So they must understand, because the Navi repeats it again and again and again, and he shows them models and diagrams, he teaches them all the what they have to do, and he's with total clarity and in small segments that they're able to digest it. So you would think he's asking them something difficult, but he's not. So the Navi says, Asher Omar Aleihem, the Navi said to them, what I'm asking from you is not difficult. Zos HaMenucha. You know what will give you rest in life? Hanichu la'ayef, let the weary give rest to the ayef, to the weary. V'zos hamargeyon, by doing so you'll feel satisfaction. There's a strong stress in the Torah, on the mitzvahs bein olam l'chaveiro, to help out somebody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, the Torah is not here to cause somebody to suffer. It's not difficult, it's an enjoyable way of life. All those involved in Kiruv will tell you, you know, if somebody comes in, he's interested in keeping Shabbos, and he's not used to it, and you were to sit down and try to teach him all the Lamites Malachas, the Ovos and the Toldos and the laws of the Rabbanon, and there's just so much in Hilchos Shabbos, it's overwhelming, and it sounds so restrictive. But the way to get somebody to feel the desire to be Shomer Shabbos, to keep Shabbos, is to put him in an environment, let him spend Shabbos with a family that keeps Shabbos, and let him see how the meals are special, and they're singing, and everyone's in a, ideally in a good frame of mind, and it's a day of enjoyment. And of course, there's the Shomer, you have to keep all the mitzvahs. But it's an enjoyable experience. It's something to look forward to. And that's what the Navi is saying all the mitzvahs are. It's what gives a person menucha, zos hamargeyon, and will give you satisfaction. V'lo avu shmo, and they don't want to listen. So the Navi is telling them tochacha. It's clear what the Navi means, and what he's asking them isn't made to make their life more difficult. It's there for their to give them satisfaction. So they don't want to hear the word of Hashem. But v'hoyo lahem dvar Hashem, whether they want to hear it or they don't want to hear it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to repeat the mitzvahs again. V'hoyo lahem dvar Hashem, tzav l'tzav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's a chiyuv for the Navi to go and to tell the people and to teach them again and again. It's not just Matan Torah is not just the Nasa the Nishma that we want to keep the mitzvahs. But at the same time, this Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis, the mountains lifted and placed above the people, that the people have to know that we want to keep the Torah, and even if we don't want to, we have to keep the Torah. V'hoyalhem Dvar Hashem Tzav L'Tzav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say the commandment and say it again, Tzav L'Tzav, Kav L'Kav, Kav L'Kav. And for all of these, the models and the diagrams and every way that it's explained, it'll be explained again and again. Ze'er Shom, in small amounts and in increments that the people should be able to learn. And if they refuse, Leman Yelchu, in order that they'll go, V'choshlu Ochar, and they'll stumble backwards, V'nishporu, and be broken. Stumbling is they tripped on their own on whatever was in the road. If they don't keep the Torah, there are natural things that will cause them to suffer and to have difficulties. V'nokshu v'nilkodu. And then there's also the trap that's placed, that there will be traps placed on purpose to punish them. V'nokshu v'nilkodu. And if they don't want to hear the mitzvahs, there'll be people to trap them. There'll be Nevi'ei Sheker, there'll be Masisim, there'll be those who try to mislead them from following Hashem. V'nok shuvin ol kodu. That's the way the Malbim understands these psukim. Lochein, therefore, Shimu Dvar Hashem Anshei Lotzon. You scoffing men, people who make fun, a late to somebody who takes something serious and he makes a joke and he causes people to lose the whole seriousness of the moment. He makes fun of it, makes a cartoon. The Anshei Lotzon, the people who scoff and deride the mitzvahs. Listen to the Dvar Hashem. Moshli Ha'amazeh, those people that rule over this Am Asher B'Yerushalayim, the people in Yerushalayim. Hear the word of Hashem. Moshle simply means the rulers, those who rule over the people in Yerushalayim. It's also understood as Moshle, as a moshel, as a proverb, as a parable. People spoke they were good speakers, and they spoke parables, and they compared things to attract their listeners. Ki amartim. And they said as follows, Karasnu Varisas Moves, we've made a covenant with death. We have a deal. Death strikes, there are tragedies, people are killed in different places, but they feel they're above it. We have a bris with Moves, we have our own treaty with death, that it won't come to us. V'im Sha'ol Asinu Choze, and with the grave, we've made a chozeh. Chozeh can mean a pact. We've made a deal. Chozeh, some learn, means like a boundary. Like you draw a line and you say, past this point, there's no entry. The grave can swallow up many people, but not here. Shot, shotev kiyavor. When a stick, a shot, meaning punishment, seems to pass and flow over the world. Shotev kiyavra, when this punishment is flowing over the world, they feel, lo yivoeinu, it's not going to come to us. Kisamnu chozov machseinu, because we have our own machase, we have our own shelter. And that shelter is something called chozov, which is deceit. Uvasheker, and with falsehood, nistarnu, we hide, we've found refuge. They feel that whatever suffering comes, they're going to live their life, and they're safe. It won't affect them. The Malbim explains a place of nistornu, to be hidden, is a greater protection than a machse, a shelter. A machse is, you know, somebody's under the overhang and he's shielded a little from the rain. He has a machse. Nistornu, a place to hide, means he's in the bunker. He's totally seems to be has a better protection. Sheker is something that is a lie to begin with. A guy who says a sheker knows that he's not telling the truth. Kozov is something that sometimes a person says something. Perhaps he'll keep his word, perhaps he won't. And as time goes on, it becomes evident that this person is not going to live up to what he said. In English, they translate it deceit, but the Malbim says the idea in kozov is somebody was relying on a certain item, a certain occurrence, and it just didn't happen. Hayo siyali kamo achzov. You become like a kozov, meaning it's you didn't deliver on the promise. The people in the 10 tribes knew that Asher was becoming the world empire, and they made a bris, they made a covenant with Mitzrayim. And they felt that Egypt would help them out. When it came down to it, Mitzrayim wasn't able to help them. In fact, Asher conquered Mitzrayim. They were one of those defeated by the Syrian Empire. So at that time, the people felt they're living the way they're living, and they don't have to worry about punishment. Kisamnu chozov machseinu. The chozov here means Mitzrayim. We placed our trust in Mitzrayim, which the Navi calls chozov, because this trust in Mitzrayim is like deceit. Mitzrayim will not deliver on their promise. Uvasheker nistornu. And what we felt would really protect us, the nistornu, where you're hidden and you're totally enveloped in protection. That was when the Jews sent the actual present to Ashur. They sent directly to the king of Ashur presents, a shochad, feeling that this way Ashur would leave them alone. But Ashur, when they took the present, they took it, and they had all intention of attacking Eretz Yisrael. They didn't take the present with an understanding that they were now at peace. So the people felt, Karasnu Rises Moves, we have this treaty with death and with Sheol, with the grave, we've drawn the line, Asinu Choze, we've made the boundary. Shot Shotef Kiyavar, and even when the plague, the punishment is rolling over the land, Lo Yivoenu, it won't come to us. They live in this delusion that everyone can be suffering and the whole world can be conquered by Ashur, but not them. For some reason, it won't affect them. Which, of course, for the outsiders, for us, you know, learning it now, where it's not our personal life. It seems so foolhardy to believe that way. But we know throughout history, there's always those who place their trust in things that are, whether it's the weapons or allies or the certain things that they feel that once they have this, they're secure. Nothing can harm them. They've placed kozov machseinu, uvasheker nistornu, and we've hidden away in the sheker, in falsehood. Lochein, therefore, ko amar Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem Elokim, hineni yisad b'tzion oven, I am now laying a stone for a foundation in Tzion, in Yerushalayim. I'm going to make another building. You're counting on being protected. We'll see in a moment. The whole protection that the 10 tribes is counting on, it's all going to get washed away and it's not going to have a permanence. But I'm right now in the process of preparing a new foundation and a new edifice, which Rashi learns is referring to Mashiach. And other Mephorshim learn it's referring to Chizkiyo, the king of Yehuda. Which, although it sounds far, far apart and two totally different ideas, as we've learned before, Chizkiyo could have been Mashiach. And there's always in the generation, there's that leader who could become Mashiach if he and we would be deserving, Mashiach would appear. But Hashem says, Hineni Yisad B'tzion Oven, I am now laying a stone for a foundation. And there are different things that show you the greatness of a foundation, of a stone. this stone is going to be Evan Bochan. It's going to be a sturdy stone. It's not going to be a stone that has cracks in it that you filled in with dirt and with pebbles, and it's a composite of different materials. But this is an Evan Bochan. It's a solid, sturdy stone, which is going to represent the leader of Klal Yisrael, who himself is going to be in the words of the Malbim, which is interesting what attributes he stresses. Noki mitaivos, he himself will be clean of any taivos of the desires that everyone else is living under. He'll have total control of himself as Yetzirah. He's free of taivos, which could be, he mentions, because Aseres HaShvatim were criticized, and that was their downfall, that they were involved in taivos. B'zoch HaMachshavos, and this leader will have a clear thought, and he'll understand, again, I guess, in terms of those who didn't seem to understand and get the mitzvahs of Hashem, as much as it's repeated, they didn't seem to comprehend, but they're going to have a leader that's going to be Evan Bochan. There'll be a sturdy stone, without taivos, with a clear machshava, with clear thoughts. Pinas Yikras. And this stone that we're going to rebuild Klal Yisrael, Malchus Beis David, it's going to be Pinas Yikras, not just a solid stone, but a precious cornerstone. The cornerstone is a beautiful stone they'll choose for the corner because two sides of it are seen. It's at the corner and it's noticed from two different directions. So a nice stone is chosen for that. It's going to be a sturdy stone, but it's going to be a precious stone. It's going to be a Pinas Yikras. It's going to be a precious cornerstone. Meaning as solid as the leader will be, Chizkiyahu or Mashiach, as solid as the leader will personally be, he'll have a precious Yichus. He'll come from an ancestry, Zera Beis David, from Malchus Beis David. Musod Musod. And this leader is going to be able to accomplish a goal. The tachlis is that he will be a foundation. Musad, musad. He'll be a secure foundation, a foundation of a foundation, the best foundation possible. On this leader we'll be able to build. Hamamin lo yachish. The one thing is, the believer, lo yachish, don't expect it soon. It's not yet. If it's talking about Chizkiyo, this Nebuah was said in the times of Achaz when the leader was a terrible Rasha. Achaz was one of the worst. But there'll be a leader afterwards. And of course, if it's Mashiach, then we certainly understand Hamamin lo Yochish. The believer will understand that it's not going to be so soon. But eventually there will be such a leader. B'samti mishpat lakov. And at this point, after we've described the foundation, now we're going to discuss how we're going to expand it. We're going to draw the walls further in all directions. And it's going to become higher and higher. And it's going to be built, not just with a physical structure, but b'samti mishpat lakov. Mishpat, justice. If you do what you have to do, the Malbim discusses Mishpat as Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. The Mishpatim that everyone understands, and simply the way a person has to live in a proper life, the Mishpat will become Lakov, the line that is used when you're drawing, when you're building, to make sure that the building, the line, the wall is straight. And as you expand the wall further and further out, you use this line to make sure that you're straight and level. The mishpat, the justice, will become the kov, and it'll expand further and further. Utzdaka l'mishkoles, and the tzedaka, the righteousness, the bein adam l'makom, the tzedaka, which is a higher level, that'll become the mishkoles, like the plumb line. You put a weight at the bottom of a string, and you hang it down to make sure, when you want to measure vertically, that the next row of bricks is level and the row above that is all in line, you use the plumb line as you're going higher and higher. That's the way the building, the structure, will now be built with tzedaka, will become the lemishkolas. The Ya'avorod and hail will sweep away. Yah is like to sweep with a broom. The hail will sweep away Machse Kozov, the shelter of deceit. They were relying on the fact on Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim will help them. It'll all collapse. Hail will sweep away the Machse Kozov, the shelter of deceit. V'seser Mayim Yishtofu. V'seser, and the place where they, that Mistor, Nistornu, the place where they could hide. V'seser, that hidden place, Mayim Yishtofu. Not only will it be collapsed and smashed by the hail, but it'll be totally washed away that nothing will remain. What they were relying on will be totally wiped away and destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building a new building. A building with Malchus Beis David, with Mashiach, with Chizkiyo, and with that new structure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to build the Malchus. V'chupar brischem es moves. And this bris, this covenant, this treaty that you made with death, v'chupar, it will be wiped away. V'chupar brischem es moves. It will be annulled. V'chazuschem es she'ol osakum. And that boundary that you made with the grave, that as many people are swallowed up by the grave, but he won't come here. V'chazuschem es she'ol osakum. That won't last. Shotev kiyavor. And when the punishment comes rolling through the land, v'yisim lo lemirmos. You that were relying on Mitzrayim, relying on Ashur, they'll be trampled by the enemy. Midei Avro Yikach Eschem. Midei Avro, whenever it passes through Yikach Eschem, he'll take you. The king of Ashur very often went to Syria, which was in the north. The Malbim says when he conquered the nations living in Syria, he would very often come through Yehuda. We learned there were different stages of the exiles. Those that lived in Avra HaYarden, those that lived on the east bank of the Yarden were exiled. Those near the Kinneret, Naphtali, was exiled separately. They were exiled in different stages. And then finally the 10 tribes. Midei Avro, whenever Sancheirav, whenever the king of Ashur passed in the area, Yikach Eschem, he would exile some more, he would take you. Ki baboker baboker yavor, it's like every morning, it constantly seems he'd come back every morning, Bayomu Valoila. And when he came, he stayed there the day and the night, he would stay and he would take Jews into Golos. Vahoya Rak Zevo'o. And there'll be only sheer horror, Havin Shmua, understanding the report. People hear the news, what happened, Havin Shmua, they hear the news, and it causes Zavo'o, a trembling, a horror of what's happening. The Malbim learns, V'hoya rak Zavo'o, Havin Shmua, means, this is being addressed to the, Yeshaya speaking to the people in Yehuda, and he's telling them what's happening up north. And he says, but for you under Yehuda, and they're going to be in the under Chizkiyo, for you it's only going to be horror, Havin Shmua, when you hear the reports. It's going to cause you a trembling. But he won't actually conquer Yerushalayim. There'll be the shudder, the zavah, the trembling, the shaking, Havin Shmua, when you understand the reports what the king of Ashur did. But it won't be more than a scare. The Gemara in the 9th parak of Brachas discusses dreams. And it's fascinating because the Gemara has many different opinions and statements what dreams mean and what they signify. And it runs the whole gamut. Well, the Gemara says that dreams are a 60th of a nevuah. Sometimes a person can have a dream, and it's a definite portend of what's going to happen. So much so that the Gemara says if a person has a dream and he's really terrified by it, you know, I imagine like if he were to wake up in the night and he's in a cold sweat and he feels his heart beating and he feels it's a message, something terrible is going to happen. The Gemara discusses fasting a tainis chalom, that he should fast, and that will be as effective, just like the fire burns flax, it immediately burns it up quickly, so too that fast will destroy any bad message the dream might have had. And the Gemara says even it's permitted to fast on Shabbos. If a person had chas v'shalom on such a dream, he's allowed to fast on Shabbos. And yet the Gemara says sometimes you can go to somebody to interpret the dream. And everything goes after the way it's interpreted. If it's interpreted as a positive omen, things will be good. And if it's translated as a negative thing, then the dream will be bad. But it all goes after the explanation. And the Gemara has a different opinion, that a dream is nonsense. Whatever a person thought about during the day, that's what he dreams about at night. But there's really no significance at all to a dream. And the Gemara has an opinion that sometimes a person has a nightmare, and it's not there to show that he's supposed to get any punishment. The punishment was having a nightmare. The dream itself, that's the punishment. The Gemara says elsewhere that v'sheva yolin v'yipoked ra, v'saveya yolin v'yipoked ra. The Gemara explains a pasuk that a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers a person with a dream. Usually we wake up in the morning, we don't realize what we dreamt about. But a person wakes up in the morning and, you know, he's happy, he's in a good mood. You should know he probably had dreams and he forgot them, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers somebody with a pleasant dream at night. And the Gemara says if a person doesn't have a dream for like a whole week, it's like a negative message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in giving him a dream. A dream can be a very positive, enjoyable experience. And sometimes the Gemara says the simple purpose of a dream is a person suffers with a nightmare. It doesn't mean anything's going to happen bad in the future. That itself is the punishment. Understanding the reports of the 10 tribes could be the punishment is that the people are going to shudder. They're going to have a scare. That's the punishment. But those living in Yerushalayim, nothing more will happen. Ki kotzar hamatzo mehistoreya. The mat will be too short, mehistoreya, to stretch out on. A guy is trying to lie on the mat, and it's not long enough for his body. Ki kotzar hamatzo, the matzo is the spread, what you spread on the ground. That mat is kotzar, it's short, mehistoreya, that you can't spread out. V'hamasecho tzoro ki hiskanes. And the cover is too small. The simple meaning of a hamasecha, what you cover yourself with. Tzara is too narrow. Kiskanes, when your body gathers together and you want to go under the blanket, and the blanket's just not large enough to cover your body. The Mitzuda says this is telling you that the land of Eretz Yisrael will be so flooded with the enemy. They're going to come rolling over V'yisim l'mirmas. They're going to trample the people living in Eretz Yisrael. And there's going to be so much of the enemy soldiers that there won't be room for them all. Ki kotzar hamatzo mehistoreya. There won't be room for the soldiers to spread out because there's too many of the enemy trying to fit onto too small a piece of land. V'hamasecho tzorov ki iskanes. And again, the same idea that there won't be room for, imagine if you had a statue and it can't even fit in the place of its feet, even though the hands and all the limbs are all together in one place, but v'hamasechot tzara, it's too narrow where the statue is with the idol standing kiskanes to be gathered together, it doesn't fit. Chazal learn. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rashi brings it down. The truth is, the Beis HaMikdash isn't large enough to fit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kaviyachol, it's impossible. The heavens can't contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limitless. Can't fit in any place. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to rest the Shekhinah in that small Beis HaMikdash. But then once you bring in an idol, Ki Kotzar HaMatzah Mehistareya, the truth is wherever we make a place for the Shekhinah, it's too narrow, it's too short, Mehistareya, that to spread out. There's not a room for the Shekhinah to logically fit. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have his presence here. But v'hamaseicha tzara, but when an idol's brought in, tzara, and it becomes like, tzara is normally two women who are married to the same husband, they're tzaros, they're a competition. And v'hamaseicha tzara ki iskanes, but once you gather in, and you bring an avodah zara in, then it's tzara, it's like a competition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, the Beis HaMikdash is not large enough for me. It's not that I wanted to be with Klal Yisrael, but logically there's not enough room for me in the Beis HaMikdash. And now you bring in Avodah Zorahs. Menashe brought an Avodah Zorah into the Heichol. Ki kotzar hamatzo mehistoreya. The Malbim explains that when a person wants to lie down and go to sleep, and sometimes the mattress is too short, ki kotzar hamatzo mehistoreya, the mat is too short from spreading out, from stretching out. So what does a guy do if when he stretches out, and he stretches his hands over his head and his feet, and he's 7 feet long, and he's only on a 5 foot bed? So what he does is, he bends his knees, and he folds his arms under him, and instead of expanding along the length, his width is greater. But then, sometimes, v'hamaseicha tzara ki iskanes, the blanket is too narrow. Now, the first part talked about the length, ki kotzar hamatzah, the mat underneath is too short, and he can't fold himself under the limited room, because v'hamaseicha tzara, the blanket is too narrow ki iskanes. Meaning the enemy is coming. From below there's going to be a problem. The mat is too short. Meaning Hashem is going to cause the nations to be destroyed from below. And the cover is too narrow on top. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu from on top is going to show these nations that are coming. They're going to exile the 10 tribes, but they won't get Yerushalayim. Ki kotzar hamatzah mehistoreya, the mat is too short that they can't spread out over there. V'hamaseicha tzara ki hiskanes, and the blanket above them is too narrow that a person can't be gathered under the blanket. Ki chahar perotzim yokum Hashem, because Hashem is going to bring on the enemy judgments from below and above. David HaMelech fought against the Plishtim. It's mentioned in Divrei HaYomim Aleph, Perek Yudalid, and he defeated the Plishtim in a place, Baal Perotzim. And Perotzim can mean Peretz, to have a split, to be broken, as if the land is cracking and breaking up from underneath. But Ki Chahar Perotzim Yokum Hashem. Hashem is going to rise against the nations, like a har peratzim, a mountain that's splitting up. Like there'd be an earthquake, there'll be a rash, there'll be a tremendous turmoil from beneath. Ke'emek begivon, like the valley of Givon, Yirgos, Hashem will show his anger against the nations. Yoshua fought against the enemy in the valley of Givon. It's mentioned in Yoshua Perek Yud. And over there, Hashem threw on them large boulders, avonim gedolos min hashamayim. They rained down on them stones. Ke'emek begivon, like what happened in that valley by Givon, Yirgos Hashem will show his anger to the army of Sancheriv. Lasos maaseyu, Hashem is going to do his deeds, his maasim, what Hashem does. Zor maaseyu, a masa is something that you do, but it's not necessarily difficult. Zor is something where it's right now for you to do it now. Zor, it's strange to you. Like for a Yisrael to eat truma, he's called a zor. Yisrael just doesn't eat truma. Lasos maaseyu, Hashem is going to do his action zor maaseyu. And at a certain level, Hashem's action is going to be zor, is going to be something unusual. But also, v'lavod avodoso. Hashem is going to do avodoso, his work. Avoda is when you do an action that's difficult. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing's difficult. But kaviyocho, when Hashem does a miracle, and Hashem changes nature, kaviyocho, that's called difficult. Right? The parnasa of a person, shiduchim, is kasha ki kriyas yamsuf. That's what all the darshanim discuss, how kriyas yamsuf. Not nothing's difficult for Hashem, but it means difficult to change the normal flow of water, to split the sea, to change nature is difficult. Kaviyocho. Belavod avodoso, but Hashem is going to do his avoda, he's going to do his work. Nochriyo, and it's going to be strange, not just zor. Zor is something where right now a person is not accustomed to doing a certain action, a certain activity, that's zor. Nochrio means he's like from a different country. He's totally out of the picture. He's a nochri. V'lavod avodoso, Hashem is going to do his work. Nochria avodoso, what Hashem is going to do is going to be nochria, like from a different country. Something totally different from the teva. The army of Sancheiriv is going to be miraculously wiped out outside Yerushalayim. The Gemara has different explanations exactly what happened, but there are explanations that the neshama was burnt and their bodies were intact. It's going to be a miraculous. Va'ata al tislotzitzu. So now, don't scoff. Don't take things as being unimportant and making fun of it. Penyech zikumosreichem. Because if somebody doesn't take things seriously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a stronger warning and a stronger warning. They compare with Lo Aleinu, if there'd be a fire and the firemen ring the bell and there's no answer, and they knock on the door and there's no response. Finally, and then they're pounding on the door. Finally, they just break it down. They smash the windows. It gets stronger and stronger, the warning to get out of the burning building. If somebody takes things in a mocking manner, penyechziku mosreichem, the afflictions will become stronger. Hashem wants to get that message across. Ki cholov nechrotza. Because, like a total annihilation, shamati, I heard, me'es Hashem Elokim tzivokos al kol ha'aretz. There's going to be, concerning the whole land, there's going to be a punishment, and those that don't serve Hashem are going to be annihilated and wiped out. The 10 tribes will be taken away. And just Yerushalayim will remain under the Malchus of Chizkiyahu.